Hey friend, it's Stephanie Radcliffe, your host of the Stories Begin at Home podcast. I'm a homeschool mom of five from Florida, fixing up a charming 1950s home in the center of our city, adventuring with my wildlings and embracing a natural learning, living is learning lifestyle. I know firsthand the overwhelm and informational overload that we can find ourselves in these days regarding education and parenting choices. I created this space so we could inhale and exhale together. We'll chat all things homeschool, natural learning, gentle and respectful parenting, and faith-filled motherhood. But don't let any of those terms deter you. We don't judge a book by its cover over here, and all are welcome. Let's embrace our unique family stories and grow in confidence as we learn to trust ourselves and our children. So grab your coffee or tea, listen as you do dishes or change another load of laundry. Take a deep breath, grab a pen, literal or figurative, and let's rewrite freedom, joy, and connection in our homes and homeschools. All stories begin somewhere. Let's make ours begin at home. Hi, friends. Today we are flashing back to an Instagram Live I did last year with Jessica at the Waldock Way. Jessica has amazing unit studies and encourages homeschool moms to use the power of games to help children learn. I have seen the power of game schooling in my own home and I'm constantly blown away by how much my children learn through games. Jessica talks about her personal story and how she saw this in her own home as well. We talk about how we can gain confidence in game schooling and not believe the lie that it's not quote unquote enough. We talk about how our children really are gaining amazing skills and having meaningful learning experiences because it's being done with connection and joy at the foundation. I hope you enjoy our chat as much as we enjoyed having it, and be sure to check out Jessica's amazing resources. Her Instagram link and website are linked in today's show notes. Let's get talking about game schooling. Hey,
how are you?
Good, how are you?
I'm good.
Good. Thanks so much for joining me.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited to be here tonight.
Yes. I love your background. That's such a fun map back there.
Thank you. Hobby Lobby.
Yes. Hobby Lobby for the win. I'm laughing because for those of you listening, sorry, I don't know how my lighting is, but we have been laughing because we both live in Florida, and we have just been laughing about how hurricanes and everything Florida has been keeping us from having this conversation for so long. But we are here and we're excited to chat. So we'll go ahead and get started. So Jessica, I told everybody before, but I'll say it again, especially for when we record for our podcast. Just go ahead and tell us about yourself, where you live. We said Florida, but your kiddo, your aged kiddos. I know you have one. I don't know how old they are. I forget. And what made you begin homeschooling?
So we homeschool an only child. She is 10, and at the moment, for all like intensive purposes, would be a fifth grader. Okay. If we're gonna put a label on it. Right. We have been homeschooling since the beginning, but it wasn't planned. So Emily, my daughter, is my rainbow baby. I was under the impression I couldn't have kids. And then I had a horrible pregnancy with her. So when she turned 4, the idea of like sending this little bitty person off somewhere for hours a day was just more than I could handle. And so I talked to my husband and I'm like, it's ABCs and 1-2-3s. Anybody can do it. Like, let me just keep her home. And so we did. And at the time he was working a very, very crazy schedule. And at the end of the year, we realized we love what homeschooling, even though we didn't even realize at the time that that's what we were doing was homeschooling, but we love what it did for our family. We love the flexibility and the freedom. He got to spend way more time with her than he ever would have been able to had we not been homeschooling. And participate in more things. So we kind of sat down and we were like, okay, we're going to take this on a year-by-year basis. And here we are 6 years later and we've never addressed it again. Like, it's just been this thing that's like, this is working. Why try to fix what's not broken? So that's how we started homeschooling.
I love that story. That's such a great story. Thank you so much for sharing. Okay, yes, I knew you had one kiddo. I forgot. Emily, and she is 10. I love that. My oldest is 8. And so for those listening, I know that you and I have talked before too, and something we would love to discuss more in the future is the difference and the
all the talks about moms that homeschool with, sorry, this light is driving me nuts. Let me see if I can, there, I feel like that's better. The diversity of families who homeschool, and this notion of that only certain kinds of families homeschool, whether that be based on faith or size or whatever, and how we want to just like dispel that and say like, no,
absolutely,
anybody can homeschool, and why that's why we're passionate about that. So we'll have to get into that another time, but I loved kind of talking with you a little bit about that too. So let's go ahead and dive in. I'm super excited. I have notes. So if you see my eyes darting, that's why. I have to keep myself focused or I'll go squirrel on you. So we're going to talk about game schooling. And I'm excited to seek your wisdom on this because, as I told you in our chat, I have, so many times I've gone and searched a million different things on Pinterest and the Waldock way shows up. And I love that so much. So thanks so much for all you offer. Those of you who haven't checked out Jessica's blog, I hope that you get a chance to do so. We have been finding so much joy, especially just like really recently in new games like chess and checkers and Monopoly. That's a very recent thing in our house. And I'm seeing the fruit of that from my oldest down to my little ones and how much they learn from it. So tell us a little bit about how you discovered or stumbled upon the power of game schooling, learning through games, and what made you like embrace this way of learning?
Well, okay, so I just told you that we started in preschool, but we weren't like officially homeschooling yet, at least not in my mind. So for us, preschool was very free. It was very like, what we do now, but anyway, it was like, let's learn about the letter A and ants and alligators and all the things that went with it. And it was really low key and we just had fun together. But then when we decided that we were going to like officially homeschool in kindergarten, I was like, oh man, now it's official, right? Like, and you live in Florida, so you know you have to have a portfolio evaluation. And it feels at first a little intimidating. So I did everything that I thought you were supposed to do, which meant like having a workbook or a curriculum for every subject and all of the things. And at the time I was homeschooling Emily, I was a full-time student. Kevin's job was very, very cumbersome and there was just not enough hours in the day. And so as the holidays started to approach about the same time of year, I was losing my mind. Mm-hmm. You know, the more family gatherings and the more that things need from you, I just didn't have enough time. And so Kevin said, look, you can't quit school. Like, you can't quit doing your household stuff, but you can pause. You can press pause on homeschooling. Like, she's in kindergarten. You can just stop for a little bit. Of course, I thought, I can't do that. But I was like, okay, you know what? He's right. I'm going to lose my mind if I don't. So we did. And for the next 6 weeks, from around Thanksgiving until around the first of the year, we just lived life, which for us was, you know, reading some books together and playing games together at night as a family. Well, Emily was about five and a half. Kevin's favorite game is Yahtzee. Like, he will pull Yahtzee off the shelf every single time. And so he's like, well, let's teach her how to play Yahtzee because she's old enough now. And we played Yahtzee probably 3 or 4 nights a week for those 6 weeks. And again, we had always kind of played games as a family, like as a fun thing, but never did I value them as an educational thing. Mm-hmm. Until we came back to school in January, and here I'm pulling the math workbooks out and I'm already kind of like defeated because we had been working on math facts for 6 months and I swear it was like 1 + 1 = 27. Like, it was just so frustrating. So frustrating. And I was like beating my head against the wall. I felt like I had tried everything. And then we come back and all of a sudden she knows math facts. Like, I think we were somewhere around the 4s when we stopped. And she knew like 5s and 6s. And I hadn't even addressed those with her. Like, we hadn't even discussed those. I'm like, what in the world? How do you know this? And later that night, I was telling Kevin, because of course I'm excited. And he's like, I bet it's from playing Yahtzee. Like, you roll up to 6s, you know, that's how she knows it. And it was the most like light bulb moment I've ever had. And I'm like, okay, that's it. And like the next year for Valentine's Day and Easter and birthday, like, every holiday, she got a game, some sort of game. And that's how we started building our game collection. And we've made obviously we still fall kind of off what I call off track, but we've made games a really essential part of our homeschool ever since, even though sometimes I have to remind myself the value of them.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that so much. And I have been seeing that so much in our household. I have never really done a formal lesson with my 4-year-old, and he can count to 100. And I completely credit games and his older siblings to that. Because he's really into Hungry Hippos, and they have a dinosaur version of that. And so he's constantly counting with that. And then in the car, he constantly is asking, because the older ones he'll hear from them. And then he'll start playing Monopoly with help with his older brother, and he's counting currency.
As simple as counting the spaces, like even if it's not, and I think that's one thing I want to say right now before we even get like really, really deep into this whole game school conversation. A game doesn't have to be deemed educational to be educational. Like even just playing a game that you feel like has no educational value, you're still counting the number of spaces on the board, or you're still rolling a dice, or you're still spinning a spinner. Like there is still so much learning happening, even if a game doesn't feel school-like or educational-like right off the bat.
Yeah. No, thank you for bringing that up, because I agree. Sometimes we as parents can get really into all the bullet points on Amazon of the, what it says it's going to teach our kid. But really, any kind of game we're talking here is so valuable. And I love how kids put their own spin on it and come up with things that we didn't even think of within the game. You know what I'm saying?
Speaking of that, hang on, before you move on to the next one.
Go ahead.
This is a Christmas idea for you, because your kids love it and they love to put a spin of their own on it. This was probably one of the biggest hits. They sell like a make your own game kit, and it's like a blank board and blank cards and blank little pieces. Some of the boards can even come dry erase, so you can make them and erase them and do it again. That was a huge hit. I can't tell you how many times Emily created her own game and then taught it to us, and then been like, okay, wait a minute, I need to go back and fix these few things because it doesn't work well. And that in itself has been a huge fun learning experience. So that I would definitely do that for your kid.
Thank you for telling me about that. I laugh because I've created a few games for free resources or even in some of my collections. And every time I do it, I think back on one of my favorite projects that I ever had as a kid in school was to create a board game. It was a project that I had. And every time I make a game, I'm like, oh my gosh, I remember how fun that was. So, so funny. But yeah, that sounds great. I'll have to look into that for sure. Is it on Amazon or?
Yeah, you can just look up DIY game kit or something, and I'm sure you'll find tons.
Tons. Cool. Cool, cool. So let's chat about the common pitfalls that we as adults, as moms, can fall into. We talked about one where sometimes it feels like maybe it's not educational enough, or it's too silly, or it's not, a formal enough. For those that might struggle with feeling like games are enough, that maybe they're not covering a whole scope, or that we're afraid that we're wasting our time with it because we need to get to the meatier stuff, or whatever those hesitations would be. How could you encourage moms out there to walk in confidence with game schooling?
Well, I think first, I really, really think that the fruit is in the pudding. And so you should just try it and give it a chance, a real chance. I don't mean play one game, and if your kid doesn't immediately know everything, you give up on it. I mean, really give it a real chance. And it doesn't have to be, obviously I own over 500 games and we play them almost every day. I'm not saying do that. What I'm saying is, maybe one night a week. It doesn't even have to take away from your homeschool. If you're not confident enough to do that yet, pick one night a week and play one or two games together as a family. And then once you start seeing those fruits, I feel like it makes it easier, because I'm a person who I'm show me. don't tell me because I'm not. Like, right. You can't just say, you should do this. It's good for you. No, I need to see the proof of that.
Yeah.
I mean, there's obviously tons and tons of benefits, and I can sit here and tell them to you all day long, but I think trying it is probably one of the biggest things. And I will also say that I would challenge anybody to come up with a topic that you can't find a game for. Like, I know that we're like, get to the meatier things. Okay, but what are those meatier things? Multiplication and division? Fractions? I can name numerous games for all of those things.
Yeah.
And kids learn better through play. And if we know that, like, okay, for example, if I was to ask Emily to do 50 multiplication problems in a row, she is probably like on a blank worksheet, she's probably going to look at me and cry. But if I pull out a game, like, it can be as simple as multiplication war with a deck of cards. You don't even have to buy a new game. Mm-hmm. Grab a deck of cards. You each flip over two cards. You multiply them.
Okay, our chat got cut off right there, but we were basically finished. Jessica encourages us to ditch the traditional methods here. For example, instead of pulling out an overwhelming multiplication worksheet, we learn multiplication through games. And I'm going to add, through games our children actually want to play. That's key. She encourages moms to just try game schooling and to see for ourselves how it can really transform learning in our homes towards joy, freedom, and connection.